ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, we find ourselves in this Mubarak and auspicious month of Muharram, and in the past weeks we have been hearing regarding the virtues and the bounties of this Mubarak month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid mentions, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. That the Islamic calendar consists of 12 months. And for amongst the 12 months, 4 months are considered as sacred months. 4 months are sacred months. And these 4 months are Zulqa'da, Zulhijjah, Muharram, and the month of Rajab. The month of Muharram has been given as the title of Shahrullah, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a very, very Mubarak and a very, very blessed month. And historically, there are many events that took place also in this Mubarak month of Muharram. In this Mubarak month of Muharram, we find that this was the day that, or this was the month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Nabi Nuh alayhi salam from the evil of his people. Allah ta'ala saved the ship of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam from the floods that were taking place. Together with that, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala saved him from the tyranny of Fir'aun, and Allah ta'ala destroyed the entire army and the oppressive army of Fir'aun. Allah ta'ala saved Nabi Musa alayhi salam. This is month also in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It marks the beginning of the Islamic calendar. In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu wrote a letter. And when this letter reached Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then it was addressed for Shawwal. He did not know whether it was Shawwal of this year or Shawwal of the previous year, because of the time that the letter took to reach him. So then the need arose to establish an Islamic calendar. So many, many rays were given, many opinions were given as to what should mark and what should signal the start of the Islamic calendar. Some suggested the Mubarak birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some suggested the Battle of Badr, such a great battle wherein Allah Ta'ala gave the Muslims victory, a small army over a large army, a small army ill-equipped, poorly equipped, over a large, fully equipped army. Some suggested the occasion of the Fath Makkah, such a momentous occasion when a group of 12,000 Sahaba marched into Makkah al-Mukarramah and reclaimed it unopposed. So various suggestions were given, and one of them was the Hijrah. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu loved this opinion, that the Hijrah should mark the start of the Islamic calendar. What was the reason behind it? From all the opinions, why he chose this? Because of the difficulties and the hardships that the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim endured when they undertook this journey from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madina Munawwara. It was such a journey. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after sending many, many groups of Sahaba, now the Kuffar realized that the only way that we can stop the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is by ma'azallah killing the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook this journey, he took it with such pain and such grief in his heart Then as he is leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, he turns around and he addresses the city and says that, "Oh city, you are most beloved to me. Were it not your inhabitants forcibly removing me, I would never ever have left Makkah al-Mukarramah." So this was the difficulty and the hardship. And like that, the many, many Sahaba that undertook this journey, they went through so much of difficulties and hardship. One Sahabi, Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he, whatever he possessed, he buried it in a certain place, and thereafter he's leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah. And as he's leaving Makkah, some kuffar stop him in his way. On the one hand, they were persecuting them, they were harming them, they were oppressing them in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And when they wanted to leave the city, they did not even allow them to leave safely. So they stopped Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu in his tracks. And Hazrat Suhaib addresses this group, and he tells them that, "You know well, I am ready to fight, and I possess arrows with me, I have my weapon, I have my bow and my arrows with me, and I will not stop until every arrow is used, and when that is finished, I will use my sword upon you, and I will not fight, I will not stop fighting till I reach my end." But Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu tells them, "You have another option. I will direct you towards where my wealth is, kept in Makkah al-Mukarramah, where I've left and buried all my treasures in Makkah. I will direct you towards it. You can go and have it. It is for you. All I am requesting is to allow me safe passage from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madina Munawwara, where I may reunite with the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And that is what they wanted, to go and enjoy the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these kuffar realized that, and that is what they were after. They were after this dunya. So they said, "Okay, tell us where it is." And we find that they took his word for it also. That was the quality of the Sahaba, that not one word of lie emanated from their Mubarak lips. They accepted it. Whatever Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the Sahaba told them, they accepted it. So they listened to what he told them, and they went and they usurped his wealth. And thereafter, Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu anhu undertook this momentous journey from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madina Munawwara. When he reached the Mubarak company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu anhu, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiles and tells Suhaib that, "Oh Suhaib, what a great transaction you have done. What a great transaction you have done." So Hazrat Suhaib looks at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, "Oh Nabi of Allah, besides those enemies that were there, nobody else knows about what transpired. Nobody else knows about what took place. Definitely Jibreel Amin has informed you." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites the ayat of the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي نَفْسِي وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي نَفْسَهُ بِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. That amongst people are those who sell themselves, who sell themselves, why? To attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever they possess of the world, they give it away. Why? To attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What an important lesson we learn here, friends and elders. Unfortunately today, we are ready to sell our deen to attain a few meager commodities of this dunya. A person is ready to break the horses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he goes in the marketplace, he is ready to lie, he is ready to cheat, he is ready to engage in interest and other types of haram dealings, just so he can attain, outwardly feels that he attains extra of this dunya, but wallahi al-azim, he's only earning himself, he's only destroying himself and earning himself coals of Jahannam. So that is the harm of engaging, and that is the harm of earning haram. Here Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu is ready to give everything that he possesses to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the Mubarak company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بِذِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Allah loved this action so much that Jibreel Amin comes down with the ayat, and amongst mankind are those who sell themselves to earn. The opportunity arises for them to chase after this dunya, but they set it aside to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with that, friends and elders, in this incident of Hijrah, we learn regarding the companionship and the closeness that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha mentions when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have chosen anyone he wished to accompany him on this difficult journey, such a journey where the kuffar, every tribe, had appointed one person from their tribe to kill the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a difficult journey. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have chosen anyone. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had such bond and such closeness with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that he chose Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu for his journey. Hazrat Aisha mentions that when my father, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, received this news and did not know that any person could cry tears of joy until I saw my beloved father, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, crying tears of joy when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him that he is the chosen companion on this Mubarak journey from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. Allah loves this so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also makes mention of this companionship of Hazrat Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran al-Majid. إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of this incident that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu were in the cave. Before Hazrat Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu goes in the cave, first he looks inside that cave to see if there's anything. Such was his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tells the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to wait. He goes first, he cleans out that entire cave. There were some holes in that cave. He breaks off his own scarf and he covers up those holes. There was one hole remaining. So Hazrat Abu Bakr first sits in the cave and thereafter he asks the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come inside. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter comes in and places his Mubarak face on the Mubarak lap of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr takes his heel and covers up that one hole that was left in the cave. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam falls asleep. Such close bond did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam falls asleep on the lap of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Whilst Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asleep, a scorpion comes and begins biting at the heel of Hazrat Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu. But such was his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he began enduring that pain. He did not move. He did not even move. Why? So he does not disturb the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the pain became too much, inadvertently, tears began rolling down his cheeks and these tears fell down the face of Hazrat Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu onto the Mubarak chehra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is awakened by these tears. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks up at Hazrat Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu and says that, "Oh Abu Bakr, what is the matter? Why are you crying?" Hazrat Abu Bakr says that, "Oh beloved of Allah, a scorpion has bitten me." Such was the bond that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with Hazrat Abu Bakr. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his own Mubarak saliva and applies it on the heel of Hazrat Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, and instantly Hazrat Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu became cured from this wound. While they undertaking this journey, even the time that they were in that cave, food was brought from the home of Hazrat Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Asma used to bring the food with the son of Hazrat Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr. And as I had mentioned, Allah Ta'ala talks about this when the kuffar had come near. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Hazrat Abu Bakr that la tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Then Abu Bakr, do not fear. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. And when they undertook the journey, we understand the worry that Hazrat Abu Bakr had. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, don't fear, it was not that Hazrat Abu Bakr was fearing for his own self. No, he was fearing for the safety of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we understand that on that journey, when they were going from Makkah al-Mukarramah to the Medina Munawwara, Hazrat Abu Bakr sometimes used to walk on the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes to the left of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes to the rear and sometimes in the front, not out of disrespect but out of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if any enemy were to come and try and harm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he must be able to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from any direction that the kuffar had come. Many years later, during the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and we also remember Hazrat Umar in this Mubarak month of Muharram, on the first of Muharram, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu attained Shahadat. Many years later, someone asked Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that who is higher in rank, who is higher in rank of this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? We know the greatest Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the greatest Anbiya, Rasulullah sallam, the greatest of the Anbiya, greatest of this ummah, after Hazrat Abu Bakr, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is it you, Umar, or Hazrat Abu Bakr is greater? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, such high maqam and status Hazrat Umar had, but Hazrat Umar radiallahu began crying, and Hazrat Umar says that if you take one day and one night in the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it is far greater than the entire life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. That one night that he was referring to was that one night, the Qurbanian sacrifice that Abu Bakr made by being the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the cave. And the one day that he was referring to in the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was making reference to that time that after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed away, and one group of people began refusing to pay zakat, and they denied zakat being an important aspect, a compulsory aspect of deen. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was ready to wage war against them. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu went and stopped Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Abu Bakr tells Hazrat Umar that ajabbarun fil jahiliyyah khawarun fil Islam, that in the days of jahiliyyah you're a very, very forceful person, you're a very, very strong person, and now you are gone a soft and a timid person. Thereafter Hazrat Umar mentions, he tells him that لَوْ مَنَعُونِيَ أَقَالٍ لَقَاتَلْتُهُمْ, that even if they prevent from paying one string that is due in zakat, I will go and wage war against them. Hazrat Umar thereafter realized that Allah Ta'ala had placed special understanding to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, so this was the day that he was referring to in the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and thereafter we find that he waged war against them. Coming back to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he was given shahadat on the 1st of Muharram. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many, many times in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to give glad tidings of Jannat to Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. We find that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu always had this desire in his heart. To attain shahadat, to become shaheed, to attain martyrdom in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should recite this dua that Allahumma rizqni shahadatan fi sabilik waj'al mawti bi baladi habibik. Oh Allah, bless me with shahadat, bless me with martyrdom in your path, and also together with that, bless me with death in the beloved city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. People used to inquire from him that how is it possible, according to their understanding, when a person attains shahadat, then shahadat is normally attained out of the city. A person is fighting in the battlefield, that is out of Madina Munawwara. How is it possible for him to attain shahadat in Madina Munawwara? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A lengthy incident, time does not permit us to go into the details, but whilst Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was performing Fajr Salah, Majusi comes and he stabs Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and after a few days Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu passed away. But we find that even in this occasion, even in the difficulty that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu experienced, that those days, during those days when he was suffering his illness, there were so many lessons that he taught this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was climbing upon Mount Uhud and the mountain began shaking, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the mountain that, "O mountain, remain firm." Why? Because upon you is a Nabi and is a Siddiq, referring to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and is a Shaheed, that is referring to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and Allah Ta'ala blessed him with Shahadat in Madina Munawwara, and he was buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions, and upon this point we will terminate, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala mentions that I knew that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu will be buried with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the reason behind this is that how many times I heard in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I came and with me was Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. I left and with me was Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. I departed, I exited, and with me was Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So these were the two closest companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this month of Muharram, we remember these two closest companions, and in every day of our life also, we have to remember these two close companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the two greatest individuals of this ummah after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. We find that, and many the thought on many of our minds that is occupying our minds nowadays is the difficulty and hardship that is facing Masjid al-Aqsa and the plight of the Ghazans, the plight of the Palestinian people. We find that the first person to conquer Masjid al-Aqsa was Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. That in the 15th year after Hijrah, when the army of Umar ibn As radiallahu anhu was conquering many lands, and thereafter when they came to Masjid al-Aqsa, they were unable to enter Masjid al-Aqsa because the enemy had fortified themselves inside, and they laid siege to Masjid al-Aqsa for 4 months. Thereafter they received information and intelligence from the enemy that we will only hand over the keys of Masjid al-Aqsa to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar ibn As radiallahu anhu writes his letter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and he tells him that this is what I have heard. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu makes mashara with the Sahaba, and thereafter he undertakes this journey from Madina Munawwara to Masjid al-Aqsa, a very lengthy and a long journey. He only takes his slave with him as a companion. Whilst they are going on this journey, they only had one animal with them. Sometimes Hazrat Umar used to ride on the animal, and sometimes his slave used to ride on that animal. And they are going towards Masjid al-Aqsa. On the last leg of the journey, when they were about to enter Masjid al-Aqsa, on the last leg of the journey, it was the turn of the slave to ride the animal. So the slave tells Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that we are about to enter Masjid al-Aqsa, you ride the animal, I will lead the way. Hazrat Umar radiallahu refuses. And the slave rides the animal, Hazrat Umar radiallahu leads the animal. And like that, the leader of the believers, Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, leading the animal with his slave riding it, they enter Palestine and they enter the compound of Masjid al-Aqsa. The enemy, when they saw this, the enemy when they see this sight in front of them, immediately they surrendered and they handed over the keys of Masjid al-Aqsa to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and they say that this is exactly how we had seen it in our scriptures. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu conquers Palestine and Masjid al-Aqsa for the first time in the year 15 after Hijrah. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala restores Masjid al-Aqsa and returns Masjid al-Aqsa to the hands of the believers. Friends and elders, Masjid al-Aqsa will only be returned to those who love Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, return to those who love the Sahaba Ridwanullah Ta'ala Ajma'in. Masjid al-Aqsa cannot be given to those who hate the Sahaba, who speak ill about the Sahaba, who have enmity and hatred in their hearts against the Sahaba. It will only be given to those who love the Sahaba and have love for Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Ali, and the galaxies of Sahaba. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala make it easy for us to follow in the footsteps and the path of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله القائل يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون فنحمده حمدا كثيرا كلما يحمده الحامدون ونشكره شكرا جميلا كلما يشكره الشاكرون ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له شهادة تنفعنا يوم القيامة يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي يخبت الأولون والآخرون صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه صلاة وسلام دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم يجمع الأولون والآخرون أما بعد فيا أيها الناس أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون ويقول الله عز وجل يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على أزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حيان عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسن حسين سيد شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم وعن كل صحابة أجمعين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز اللهم احفظ مسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا اذكروني أذكركم واشكروني ولا تكفرون
Brother, I request to please fill in the gaps, straighten ourselves, standing shoulder to shoulder, ensuring that your heels on the line. Those brothers that are standing outside, I request to please come into the masjid. There is space available in the masjid. On your right hand side, there is gaps. Brothers in the last serve, second last serve, please fill in the gaps on the right hand side of the masjid. Still a few gaps on the right hand side. Those brothers in the last serve, please fill in the gaps on the right hand side. Those brothers that are outside, there is peace in the masjid.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala as-salah, hayya 'ala as-salah. Hayya 'ala al-falah, hayya 'ala al-falah. Qad qamat as-salah, qad qamat as-salah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. La ilaha illa Allah.
Allahu akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا
الله
سمع الله لمن حمدا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى
الله
سمع الله لمن حمدا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. Tabarakta rabbana dhal jalali wal ikram. سمعنا وطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.